Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kuf Aleph. Kuf Aleph, the 100th daf that we are doing together, including Shabbosim, in Maseches Baba Basra. And we start with the Mishnah on daf Kuf Amid Beis. We are in the discussion, we started the last Mishnah discussed, if you sell a kever, the derech a kever, maimud. So the last two Mishnayos in this perek are related to measurements of burial plots. Remember, in those days, they didn't just have bury each aron in the ground directly, separate. But what they did was they had a cave. Every family had their cave. And in each cave, there were certain crevices and little rooms off of the main room where each aron was put into that little crevice. And then they closed up that. They put stones and dirt, and they closed off each of those crevices after they put an aron in there. So let's say there was a room for, as we'll see, how many kvaris, but the Mishnah will say 8 kvaris, there is room for 8 kvaris in each of the caves. So that's what we get into this from, again, the Mekahu Memkar side. Just like we got into fields and houses and trees, so now we continue with kvaris. So a mocher makom lachaveru la'asos lo kever. Somebody sells a place to their friend to make a kever. So I sell a cave or a land to dig to make a kever. So how big of an area do I have to give them? V'chein ha'makabal mechaveru la'asos lo kever. Or if I'm contracted by you to make a kever. So what's the understanding? How much land do they have to consider the area for making the cave? So ose tocha shel ma'ara dalet amos al sheish. So the inner area, the room inside, because again, when they did the burial, let's say they were all outside in the yard, and then they go down into the cave, so there's a middle area where the family stands and where there's room for a number of people, and then all around the sides are the crevices to put the aronos. So the middle area has to be at least 4 by 6 amos. What about the heights? The Rashbam says the height is 4 amos. We'll get to that soon. So it's 4 by 6 and a height of 4. Uposeach letocha 8 kubin. And enough room, crevices, to have 8 aronos there. 8 crevices, 8 aronos. Why 8? So first of all, Gamar Samachpela. Right, that's the original 8. Original cave with 8 kubin. But the Marsha writes in Masecha Sota and Daf Yud Gimel that why the 8? The inyan arba zugos nireh, that's the on the Marsha Machpela. Lefi hadin, ki machar Ephron ma'avraham makom lasos lo kever. Ephron sold to Avraham a place to make a kever, which was Marsha Machpela. Vitznan beperek hamocha peros, our Gemara. Hamocha lechaver makom lasos lo kever. O salamara pazelot zochashwana kubin dahainu. Arba zugos, that's the 8. Vatam bazen nire, why 8? Kever echad la'atzmo, va'od zayin kfarim la'zayin hamutalin alav l'kovro. If you buy one, you got it for yourself and for the zayin krovim. You know, the 7 relatives, which one mourns for, the 7 relatives which a Kohen has a mitzvah to be metame for, mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, spouse, right, the 7 relatives. So that's the 8. That's the 8 that, right, so I'm assuming this is assuming that only have a son and a daughter, but it's also that doesn't each of your relatives have their own family plot? So maybe this is just where the number comes from. I don't think it's really how he's going to be buried. Hopefully, the daughter or the spouse or the sister, you know, is married and will have their own family plot. But at least where the original number comes from is the 8. So that's the Marsha where that number. Where that number comes from. So, again, if I sell an area without specifying a certain amount, again, if you specify, the Rishonim say, if you specify, I want a burial plot of 42, so then that's you can make any tonight you want. But this is if there's no specifications given, so the toch, the inner yard, the inner room, has to be 4 by 6, and enough room to bury 8 people. Shalosh mikan, v'shalosh mikan, v'shnayim mikenegdan. And what is it? How do you bury? So let's say you walk in from one side, so there's got to be how it is situated, 3 on each side, and then 2 directly across from the door. Right, 3 on the sides and 2 from the door, that's how the 8 are situated. We have enough space in between each one as well. V'kuchen, how big is each kuch, each crevice where one buries? Erkan Arba Amos, Veruman Sheva, Verachman Shisha. So each kuch has to be a length of 4 amos, length of 4. As we know, the a person is buried, we had it earlier in the Masechta, a person is buried flat, buried on their back, straight up, so and that's 4 amos long, and Ruman Sheva, and the height is 7. Why 7? We'll get to it in a minute. Each of these, and Verach Manchisha, and the width is 6. So why each of these measurements? So first of all, 4 amos length. Why? Because the Rashbam explains that the average height of a person is 3 amos, and then you got to leave one space for the Aron. 3 amos, which is between 6 to 8 feet. So the average height of a person, where does he say it? Right, the last, second to last skinny line. Shahames erko shalosh amos, ubishvil aron, shumunach lo tzarech ama revius. Tosfos discusses, is this really true based on other sources? Did they bury them in an aron? This is the Rashbam is saying they buried them in an aron. The question is, the Rashbam lived in Galus. Right, the question is, what about Eretz Yisrael? We mentioned in the past, we had a Gemara before, that the dirt of Eretz Yisrael is mechaper. And that's why in Eretz Yisrael, they don't use aronot, except for Rachman al-Islan, people who were killed on Kiddush Hashem, let's say if a soldier, Rav Goren Paskin, that they can be buried in aronot because they have a kapara automatically. They don't need the avira, the gush of Eretz Yisrael to be mechaper, so that's why but in general, we bury... in many other countries, you know, it's against the law to bury not in an aron. So you don't have a choice. But especially in Eretz Yisrael, it's a positive not to bury in the aron. So we'll get to other details about this case in a minute. So the Rashbam says, why 4? Because 3 amos plus the aron. So Tosfos on top discusses whether that's true. If you look at other Gemaras, it sounds like maybe a person's 3 amos without his head. Right, all the different measurements. Put a few Gemaras. The Gemara talks about how tall Paro was, and in Shabbos, you know, what's the height of a person's shoulder in terms of carrying in Hotzah. So that is discussion. The Rishonim I saw in the Maoris Hadaf, he says maybe Lamay Nafkamina, how tall a person is also how tall does the average Mechitza have to be. Depending, again, big issue of mechitza. Does mechitza have to block the vision? Or does mechitza just has to create a sense of separation between, obviously, the men and the women? Big sugyas. We quoted the Ramban in Parshas Kisavo, who says that's the makkah for Hagba. So he quotes, why do you do Hagba? So that the men, the women, and the children could all see the Torah. Haraya that at least that the women can see the Torah when it's lifted up. The men can't see the women. Although the women are allowed to see the men. All big sugyas and mechitza. But maybe how tall is the average person? So how tall do you have to assume that the mechitza has to be? So that might be an interesting nafkamina based on what do they assume the average height of a person is. But that's in terms of the length. In terms of the length, meaning the depth of the kuch. How far in do you have to go? You have to go Dalid Amos. Ruman Sheva, the height is 7. Why does the height have to be 7? So the Rashbam on the bottom quotes two different reasons. Number one, last line, Lahaknus Ha'aron Berevach, either to have enough room that the Aron could go in, right, not having to be squeezed. You want enough room, plenty of room. V'gam Lios Avir Tefach, Bein HaKarka La'aron. And also you want an airspace of a Tefach between the ground and the Aron. If you have an airspace of a Tefach, that it creates an Ohel Bifnei Atzmo. If there's a Tefach in there, Shlo L'tame HaOvrim Derech HaMa'ara, or Ovrim Al Gabe HaMa'ara, says the Bach. Right, the people who go across on top, if you say that there is an Ohel underneath, so then that holds in the Tumah. If there is no Ohel, then the Tumah goes straight up. So that's why the Tefach airspace is left there. Other Rishonim say, what do you mean? If you walk across the cemetery, you're going to be Tumah anyway. It does go straight up. We don't leave a Tefach airspace. But this is what the Rashbam says, why you need the height to be 7 Tefachim.
How did they do that?
Had they left some type of airspace of a tefach, maybe, I don't know, if they're assuming the height of the aron is, let's say, 6.
Yeah.
And then a tefach airspace underneath before the top of the aron and where the dirt was. Again, this was in the crevice, in the cave, which then had on top of it. Okay, so that was the measurements given by the Rashba. The couple of points that you just see derech aga from this Mishnah. First of all, you see that the people should not be buried together. There's no such thing as a mass grave, Rachman al-Aslan, in Judaism, but, you know, our enemies might have done it, but halachically, you see, each person has their own kuch. Beis Yosef says this in Simen Shin Samach Gimel, where this is discussed, says the Beis Yosef, you see from here, he was, quotes the Shiloh of Rav Haigon. He says to Rav Haigon, let me read it for you. Nishal Meir Rabbeinu, Hai Hani Ma'aro Sheba Eretz Yisrael, V'yesh Bohen Kuchin Shemachnisen Mason L'sham. Right, these types of burial crypts in Eretz Yisrael, and they bring Mason in there. V'chal Eish Shehem Rotzon L'achnas Mason, Ma'arvin Atzamos, Osan Mason, U'manichin Osan Baguma, Sheba Ma'aros, Shari L'mevet Hachi Olav. There was some type of minog that they used to bury people in the same crypt. So they asked Rav Haigon, right, yeah. Many years ago, is it mutter to do this or not? The heshiv hachin chazina to had the avdi be'eretz Yisrael shalo kedinu. Anybody who does this minag is inappropriate. To chayshi rabbanan lamifka makom tfisa shnei mesim v'hadi adadi. You can't bury two people in the same area. V'tnan, because it says in Baba Basra, daf kuf hamocher makom lechaveir lasos lo kever. You have to assume that there's enough space for eight bodies, eight aronos, and that's spread out. The alma lo shori lemidvach lemesim lahadadi. The yafshah shelo yeh bein meis lachaveir pachas b'shisha tvachim. You need an alma between each one. The walls in between the crypt, as we'll see the measurements later. Shlosha l'tvitz hazeh, shlosha l'tvitz hazeh. Three tvachim for each one. And therefore, says the Rav Haigon, Beis Yosef quotes it, that you see from this Mishnah, that you can't bury b'yachad. There's also a fascinating discussion here, and just to come to the daf today for this Shuvah Chassam Sofer, Dayenu. What do you see from this Mishnah? You don't realize it, but you see from the Mishnah that it does not matter what direction you bury in. Right? Because what does the Mishnah say? You go into the burial cave, and you got three on each side of you, and two ahead of you. So you see they're buried in all different directions. And l'chor, the feet are all in by each one. So the feet are in all different directions. So the question is there any kpeda about direction? So you see for the Mishnah, there's not. But there was a tshuva asked to the question asked to the Chassam Sofer. So tshuva is Yoredeya Simen Shin Lamed Beis. Yoredeya Aleph Shin Lamed Beis. The question was asked to him, Al-Dvar Beis HaKfaris Sheb Be'iro. He was asked about a Beis HaKfaris in his city. So in Pressburg, he was asked up north, Regilim Likbar, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Likbar Lahaniach Harosh Latzafon Vraglav Ladarum. So the minhag of the cemetery there was they buried the head, the north south, right, head in the north and feet in the south. Upesach Shar Haknisa Lahakvaros Uladarum. The door into the cemetery was in the south, so they buried with the feet facing the door. Umachmas docha kamakom shenis nismali peelpeh. It was all full. The cemetery became full. They're starting a new row in the cemetery. Rotzel lishanos lahaskol shura acheres be mizrach lamayrif. Harosh lamizrach aram lamayrif. They wanted to set a new row, but the row worked out. It was an east-west row instead of a north-south row. So is there any problem burying in a different direction than was the minhag of the cemetery? So says the Chassam Sofer, Yase kasav misugya baba basra mevuar shalohayu makpidin bitstadim. So you see from our sugya, the next 2 days we're going to discuss burial plots, right? So you see from our sugya that there's no kpeda. Shaharei chafru kuchin la'orech la'rocha v'maro. Because you see here, they buried three on each side, two in front of you. So you see there was no kpeda about direction. So don't worry about it. You're starting a new row. Don't worry about it if they were all north-south and now they're burying east-west. Umikomakom, but he says, let me try to explain to you the minhag of some where they have a kpeid about the direction. Hanach lahem li Yisrael, im einam neviim b'nei neviim heim. V'chol darver shebezen shalmata, mosrin nafshem alav, akadosh baruch hu meir einayim. So he's giving shout-out to Klal Yisrael that they take great pains to go in certain directions sometimes. What does it have to do with? Here he goes. Margal b'pum de'inchi, people say, dekovrim haragalim, haraglayim, neged pesach shara knisa v'yitzia. The minhag in certain cemeteries is to bury feet facing the gate and the door of the cemetery. Why? Lermoz ha'emuna b'tchias ha'mesim. To reflect emuna b'tchias ha'mesim she'asid la'amon mikivro v'latzeis derach shar. To say they're going to walk out one of these days, right? That's why the minhag was in some places to bury feet k'neged the gate. V'hu k'inyan she'kasvu aposkim lahalbish b'tachrichim yafim. And this is assuming that tchias ha'mesim is really the actual bodies. We don't even know all the machlokas we've shown him. The end of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim that they're really going to go up as we were buried, mamish the gufim, and therefore people bury in certain nice tachrichim. Lirmos shasi lamod b'malbushav. Hachanami techmasei. So he says, that's what people say. That's Margala Bapume. So the Chassam Sofer, I'm not so sure. I agree with that reason. Why? V'hinei tam zeh mufrach ksas. Toha meisei chutz la'aretz mizgalgalim tachas mechilots. V'lo yatsu ashara. Meisei chutz la'aretz, says the Chassam Sofer, they're not going to get up. Right? The Gemara says, then the ksubis, they're going to roll. Meisei chutz la'aretz are going to roll underneath, and then they're going to roll to Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to get up. Right, that's why there were certain gedolim that Daf wanted to be bear in Haraz Asim. They don't want to roll at all. There's a Haraz Asim right there. That's all I want. So he says, so what he took facing the feet first in Europe, right? You're going to have to roll anyway. V'rogel ani lomar. So he says, that's, by the way, why, pshat, what I always say, what we say in the bracha of Ahava lomar, v'solichenu komemius la'artsenu. What are we daven for? La afuke la achar misa al yedei Gilgal. Ela b'chayim komemius to la achar hamisa bizman atchia yavo gamkin l'sham. Avo lo komemius ki emitachas amachila. And that's why we daven. Bring us komemius la'artsenu. Bring Mashiach now while we're still alive, so we don't have to roll there. That's komemius. V'hine. So he says now. Says the Chassam Sofer. Let's get to our case. That's what people say about the direction that you're buried while you're buried feet first next to the gate. When people want to travel to Eretz Yisrael nowadays, says the Chassam Sofer in the 1800s, two ways you can go. Either you go east and then south, or south and then east. Right, those are the two directions you could go. Constantinople. Right, Istanbul, very familiar face to some of us. And then you go south. So since the Chassam Sofer, he wasn't going in straight lines, the diagonals. He was either going east south or then southeast. That's why here in Pressburg we dive in southeast. Kimavur b'shulchan aruch, he gavin davin towards Eretz Yisrael. V'yalkei nachon likvar, therefore, whatever you do is great. Whichever direction you bury is great here. Why? Because, O Rosho l'tzafon v'raglayim l'darom, she is galgulu derech darom. O Rosho l'mayra v'raglayim l'mizrach, she is galgulu derech mizrach. Kein nir lani es daiti. He said, that's why, whichever way you want to face, it's fine, because you're going to roll in that direction. That's not a problem. V'hashta, so he says, now we come to the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah is any direction. V'hashda lefizeh lo kasha mishas demayri be'eret Yisrael demesim kamim v'omdim la'asilavo obim komam yamdu al-ragleyem al-karchach ein k'peda baruchos. The Mishnah is talking about an Eretz Yisrael. An Eretz Yisrael doesn't matter how you bury. You have all these directions. Why? Because you're just going to get up. No rolling in Eretz Yisrael. So if you're just going to get up, Masha Enkin, but Chutz La'aretz, that's why the only Kpeda that you question or have heard of is in Chutz La'aretz. Bury facing this way, facing that way, because it has to do with the Mechilos. It has to do with the tunnels underneath. V'yasi Shapir. And therefore, V'hashem, Rotzim Ne'ira, L'hashkiv, Rosh L'mayr, V'ragla, L'mizrach. You're telling me they want to start a new row? That's fine. Because here, doesn't matter if it's north, south, or east, west, you're going to have to roll in one direction. You want to say it's against the minog, but that's the only space left in the cemetery. So therefore, it's not a problem. Umatov im efshar. At the end of the Shuvi says, if possible, if you could do it or find a row in the same direction, okay, keep the minhag of the cemetery going. But pshita tahakol mutter. Etc. That's the Chassam Sofer, Yaradeh Aleph Shinlamed Beis. Fascinating Shuvah about directions people were or should be buried in, the difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Talking about Trias Amesim in there, Baruch Hashem.
So they had a time shot for the Aron down here. Unless they buried it with Aron.
Different shot for the Aron, what do you mean?
If he's saying something about Eretz Yisrael, then what do you need Aron for?
If it's Eretz Yisrael, right. I mean, he's clearly talking about the Aronos. Right? You don't know when that, if they would have used that in Eretz Yisrael at some point in history. Okay, back to the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah says, if I sell a burial plot or an area to build a cave with the crevices inside, I have to give enough space to build. The middle area is 4x6, and there are 8 places to put coffins around, 3, 3, and 2, and each kuch has to be 4x7x6. Rav Shimon Omer, right, four amos by seven, right, by seven by six, so they'll go into the tvachim. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Osa Tocha, a little bigger. Shama Ara Sheish Amos al Shmona. Right, it's not 4 by 6, but it's 6 by 8. Reb Shimon is going to have larger measurements here. 6 by 8. Uposeach Latocha Shlosha Asar Kuch. And you leave room, again, this is where it was stam, you sold it without specifying, you have to leave room to bury 13 people. Right, against that marsha that said 8, 13. Where's 13? How do you get 13? You have the door, you walk into the cave. So arba mikan, varba mikan, 4 on each side, v'shloshim mikenegdan, and 3 across from you, that's 4, 4, and 3, that's 11. V'echad miyamin pesach v'echad min asmol, and 1 to the right of the door, 1 to the left of the door. What does that mean? The Gemara will explain. What does it mean to the right or the left of the door? It's not going to be what we think it means, right next to the door on the same side as the door. As we'll see, you can already see it in the picture over there. The altar of the maskana is going to mean it's going to be diagonally on the other side in the corners over there. That's what it's going to mean. That's how you're going to get 13. Continue. V'yose chatzer al piha ma'ara. Again, if you, this is all mekach u'memkar. That's what all these discussions in these prakim, we got into it through Mekach u'Memkar. All these three, these two prakim, right? The fourth parak, these three prakim, fourth, fifth, and sixth parak is all about hamochers. It's all Mekach u'Memkar, but through Mekach u'Memkar, we got to discuss a lot of other sugyas. Kenyan chazaka, now we're talking about burial plots. So you make a chatzer, api ma'ara sheish al sheish, kamali amita v'kovreha. And the yard on top, where before people go in, the place where they have the eulogies and where people gather on top, you have to build a field, a yard that's big enough 6 by 6, which is mali mita v'kovra, enough room for the coffin and the people burying. What does it mean, ose chatzer? How do you make a chatzer? Isn't a chatzer made? What do you mean, ose chatzer? So the Ritva says, ose chatzer means you got to smooth it out. You got to leave a proper place, proper room for people to stand. V'hai ose diktani lomar shemachliko umisakno shihei roi li yeshiva. V'gam ose lepesach kol ma'ara b'chatzer gein pesach leknisa v'yitzia im ma'alosa. You got to leave room to make it nice and flat, an area for people to stand, to have the levaya, and also to make a door, a nice doorway going into the cave. B'shir shteyamos mikan, b'shteyamos mikan. So you got to leave space and... and in that way, make it a nice area on top. Rav Zalman points out, actually it's the Magen Mishnah, but Rav Zalman points out the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah points out that the Rambam does not quote any of the halachos of chatzer. He only quotes the halachos of the, what you have to leave for the, inside the cave, but he does not quote the halachos of chatzer. So, well, Rav Zalman, he discusses why, he says, Yish tema gadola, mashiksha magan mishnah, mashishbina rambam, sof mishnah, the osa chatzer. He says, why is it? He says that the answer could be, maybe the Rambam learned the Gemara like Rabbeinu Gershom. Like Rabbeinu Gershom. Why Rabbeinu Gershom? Rabbeinu Gershom, right over here, like the sixth, seventh line of Rabbeinu Gershom says, the Seifa of the Mishnah is no longer talking about Mekach u'Memkar. It's talking about Chashash Tumah. And once it's Chashash Tumah, so now it's out of the world of Mekach u'Memkar, you gotta look in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara to see whether Rambam discusses the rules and regulations there. So that's what he says, why it's not there. So the Mishnah says you have to make a chatzer with these dimensions. Uposeach l'tocha shtema aras, achas mikan v'achas mikan. And when you sell the field on top, you're allowed to have two burial crypts, one on each side. Right, let's say one on the north, one on the south. Why not four? The Rashbam explains, because when you walk to this area to be maspid, to have the levaya, you don't want to be walking on kvaris. You don't want to be walking on top of the cave. So that's why if you specify that there's a cave on each side, let's say in the top picture in the Rashbam, right, there's a picture, so you come from the north. Or in those days, they used to have east on top. So you come from the east or come from the west. Whichever way, you're coming from the top. So if you're not stepping on the ma'oros, right? You don't want to be able, you don't have to step on the caves. Reb Shimon Omer, arba labur chaser. No problem. He's not worried. Have four on each side. Right, there's a big picture on the bottom. Have ma'oros on the bottom. We're not worried that, that you're on top because the graves, it's not like a grave that is just on top, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it's all the way deep down in the ground. So walking on top is not a bizayon. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, ha'kolafi asela. Everything is based on how thick the rock and the dirt, what type of dirt there is in the area. The Rashbam says this is talking about the kuchin or even on the cave itself. All of these measurements might be dependent on how solid the ground is in that area. Right? Depends how much space you have in between each kuch. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says it is all subjective. Good. Says the Gemara. Hani trei lehecha shad yilhu. So the one question in the Mishnah is Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says you have 13 in this larger cave. So you have 13. You have, again, 4 on each side, and then 3 in front of you. So that's 11. So then you have 2 on the sides of the door. So where are those 2 sticking out? E lavrai, if they go out of the cave, so ha becomes dashi lahu. So then wouldn't they be trampled on? Right, they will be trampled on by the people carrying the mita, carrying the coffin, if they are miavroi. Look at the Rashbam. What does it mean, miavroi? So ha kamizdashi, third wide line, biragle no si amita v'kovreha shemoshivin shemamita umishtam shemharbe. Right, if you stick it out into the where you come in, if it really means come in from the door. And they're on the sides of the door, like we understood it, but that's exactly where, next to the stairs, where you're going to come down. People stand on that area for a long time, and it's a bizayin hames to have it there. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Vahas bez Hashem. Vesu ha'tznan. And also we learned, the Mishnah says, chatzar ha'kever ha'omid v'tocho tar. And also we learned that there is no chshashos. You, not only that is a bizayin, but there's no, you can't leave any chshashos that people are going to become tameh in the chatzar akever. And here, if you put him next to the door, so then people are going to become tameh because they're standing right on top of that area. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, first let's finish the line and then we will talk about it. Amar Rabbi Yossi brachanina da'avad lukumin nagar. Maybe it means that you had a nagar is a lock, but it means next to a door there's the lock. The Gemara is suggesting that you buried them vertically next to the door, and therefore when you stand on there, they're not on top of them because it's just vertical next to the door. The Gemara says you can't do that. We don't bury. We had earlier in the Masechta. We don't bury vertically. V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan kfuras chamor muzeh. This is the kfur of a chamor. You bury that. What do you mean kfur of a chamor? It's inappropriate to bury straight up. The way this is gotten from the Rashbam quotes that it's in Yirmiyo in Perek Chaf Beis Pasig Yudches. Yirmiyo is describing the burial of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, and he says Lo Yispedulo, they will not be maspid him. Ha Yachiv Ahayachos, woe, and he's lamenting. Lo Yispedulo Ha Yadon Vahayhodo Kfuras Chamor Yikaver. He will be buried the Kfura of a Chamor. What does that mean? What's the Kfura of a Chamor? So it's not specifically vertical, it just means not buried in the proper way, just strewn. Schov v'hashleich mehaua l'sharei Yerushalayim. Just thrown without buried in a specific way. So that's what it means. Chamor, it's Chamor Muzeh. So you can't, it's terrible. So that's not how a Jew gets buried, right? Straight up, vertical. So you're right. The Gemara answers, L'Rabbi Yochanan, Da'avid Lehu B'Keren Zavis. It means that it was done in the corners. And that's what we had before. We had in the picture. It's diagonally across from the side where the door is. You got 4 on each side, 3 straight ahead of you, and between the 4 and the 3s in those corners, that's where you stick out. So again, it's not near the door, so people aren't stepping on it, and it's not vertical, so there's no worry about kfuras chamor. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the issue brought up in the Gemara by kamizdashi lehu, trampling on the kever. So the Rishonim discuss what's the issue of trampling. Is it bizayon hames to trample on a kever? Is it disgrace? Or is it what we would, a different, more halachic issue, that is isur hanam en hames? If the aron is, let's say, supporting the ground, or could be looked at as supporting the ground underneath, then that might be called isur hanam en hames. That is a discussion in the Rishonim, but that is a major discussion in the poskim. Isur hana'a min hames. Yoredei and some in Shimmem Tes even says, not only is there an isur hanam en hames, there's an isur hana'a from anything to do with a mace. Right, the tachrichin and the, where is it? It's the shin mem tes. I'm sorry, I got those two things to shulchan aruch today. Mace bein oved kochavim bein Yisrael, Jewish or non-Jewish. Tachricha v'asurin bahana shulchan aruch. Right, there asur bahana, anything to do with it. V'dafka sheizminim l'tzarcho, meaning if you use them, it's not just hazmana. If you just got them ready, maybe they're not asur yet. But this is an isur hana min hames. What about noye hames hamachurim begufo? What about a wig? Asurim kamo hames atzmo. So all of this is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Where does this come up? The big sugya is number one. cadavers, getting cadavers to do medical research on, medical school. So most cadavers in Chutz La'aretz are non-Jewish. But this Isra, the Shulchan says Isra na min tachrichi ameis also. So you have to say there's a tzorich there. What if you see? I once had a shayla, because generally you can assume that it's non-Jewish. There are certain differences in halacha. I once had a shayla that this there was a Talmud of mine in dental school, and he asked. He says, Rabbi, he was taking anatomy, and he said, I have a shayla. So he says, anatomy. Yeah, but most poskim say you could assume in America that they're not Jewish. He says, but I took out his dentures yesterday, and there was a name on the dentures. And it was like some really Jewish sounding name. And so now, does that override the umdana you see his dentures? So I went to ask one of my rebbeim. So he had the shayla before. He had the shayla before, and he says, maybe it's not dafka that one person has dentures. Sometimes they use dentures, you can give it back to the dentist, they reuse them. So is it bevadai that is this person's dentures? It could have been somebody else with somebody else's name on it. Either way, he was able to ask his professor to switch his cadaver. But what? Yes, lachar, that changes the umdana. But he got out of it anyways. But even so, it's not a vadai. It's not a vadai. And it could have been somebody whose, you know, father was Jewish and his mother wasn't Jewish also. That could also be. You could have just a Jewish last name. But that is, again, that's one issue that comes up. The other issue that comes up is transplants. Sorry? The source of the Isser Hana Min Hames, I mean the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says the Gemara talks about it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about what the Isser Hana, Min HaKever.
Why?
Yeah, it's in the Gemara. I don't remember exact. I have to find. I don't remember exactly. Okay, that was one. And the other issue is organ transplants. It's the other issue of Isser Hana Min Hames. So again, first of all, again, there's a lot written on it in the family. There's all different shilohs. What is called Isser Hana Min Hames? Is Isser Hana Min Hames connected to Bizayon Hames? So there's a big discussion in the post-game. What kind of transplant? Only certain number of organs that one could use after death that are still good within the first few seconds. Like, not everything could be transplanted. So there's a big sugya. My father has an article about a number of these issues in one of his svarim. And he talks about, what about cornea transplants? So that's a fascinating discussion because there's no Bizayon Hames because he just closes his eyes afterwards, so you can't see any bizoyun from the outside, but there's a hanam in ames. But there's a tzorech. How much is a tzorech to be able to see? So we're Rechal Shabbos for vision. So maybe that shows there's an issue of pikuach nefesh in it. So you could take it. Is there an issue that they're going to need their eye b'tchias amezim? That's why in all these cases, and you can't live without an eye. Maybe then you know people are going to be able to see. So it's a big discussion back and forth about all different transplants, but a lot of it stems from the issue of Isser Hana'a min Hames. Related to this is what about Isser, if that's Min Hames itself, but what about from the Kever? Here we're not talking about the Mace, here we're talking about walking across the land on top. So the big the minog of Klal Yisrael is when we go into a cemetery, you know, Chas V'Shalom, we don't sit down, let's say, on another gravestone. So is that Me'ikar HaDin or is that the minhag? Is that the minna? Because we don't. We're very careful, right? Kavod ames. But is there an Isser Hana? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, discusses this in the Pesachei Tshuva. The next says Shin Samach Dalet in Yaradeya. Kever shall binyan aser bahana'a. Aval karka olam shall kever eno nasar. You can't aser ground. Ground is karka. It can't be asered. The binyan where the kever is, that's aser. Let's say you have a building over it, so that might be usher. But then the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama quotes, Yesh Osrim, O Shaleshev al Ha'evan, Shinosan al Kever lo Matseva. Is a Matseva usher Bahana? The Rama says, Yesh Osrim, the Yesh Chokim, Umatirin, Machlokas in the Rama, whether a gravestone maker, I think, because is that done as part of the mace, or is that just to show people where he's buried? But it's not really part of his items. Right, so which is this? That's the discussion in the poskim. The Pesachei Tshuva here quotes the Yad Eliyahu, Shevi Shishnei Tamim Alze. Two reasons why it would be Aser. Achas Machmas Isser Hana'a, V'achas Mishundu, Bizayan, Lomais. So Nafgamina, right, is it a Bizayan or is it Isser Hana'a? Nafgamina, if you're just going across, But you're just going across. V'nachminil, de leilich al gabi akever, mishum hana'aleka, de ha'ilo ha'vihacha klal kever haya yoser tov leilich ala aretz. I'd rather this not be here, so you might not say you're getting hana' from it. V'nachminil, mishum kavad ha'meis, but it's kavad ha'meis, you can't walk across it. Again, the minhag of klal...
So you said carpet's not, you can't be
in that. See, but you go walking over, let's say you go over matseva, so you're right, the kark itself is not a problem. But what about the kever? You're going over the kever. So there's bizoyant, there's no isur hanam in ames, he says, because you're not getting hanam, you'd rather not be there in the first place, but there's a bizoyant ames. So the minhag Yisrael is to be machpid and to be machmir for all these shitas, even whether it's bizoyant ames or kavan ames, but that's based on this, maybe from these few words in the Gemara here. That's where it comes from, that kamizdashi luhu, you can't trample on it. It might be based on, I have to look at more, but it might be based on the mitzvah of kvura. The fact that this mitzvah of kvura might reflect that there's isur hana. That might be. I'm about to look if there's more. There might be more. I'll hopefully if I, try to do my homework. Okay. Says the Gemara continuing. Second line on the Amud base. Vaha nagi kuchen lahadadi. What did we just say? So according to Reb Shimon, what do? You have four on each side, three across, and two in the corners. So 1 second. Vaha nagi kuchen lahadadi. Aren't now the kuchen, aren't they going to be overlapping? We just said, based on earlier, that each have to have their separate, you have to have a space in between. They're going to be overlapping. Because if you look, look in the picture of the Rashbam on the left side, first picture on the, here on Amabez. So you look in the corner, in the diagonal, and the ones right next to the diagonal ones. So those overlap right at that entrance. The entrance to all of those are overlapping. So you can't have that. You have to have every kuch is separate. Because you remember, you close up each kuch after you put an aron in there. So how could they be overlapping? No problem. You build one deeper than the other one. Different height. So therefore, it's not going to be a problem. Because if you don't say this, even the four on the side, according to Reb Shimon, would be a problem. Even the four on the side would end up touching based on his measurements. Ella b'mamik achanami b'mamik. So it must be that, you know, the way you get out of any overlap is where you did put one deeper and one higher up.
They're still on top of each other. There's this space.
But the entrance, some of the wall will be on top of the other one. But the aronos themselves wouldn't, and the airspace is not. Rav Huna b'Rei of Yeshua Amar. Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua says no. Maybe there's no raya, or Rav Ashi tried to bring a raya, that if the four have to be ma'amik, so that's why you shouldn't know the corner ones too. Maybe no raya, maybe he says, Amar, arba ma'arus l'Rav Shimon, da'avi l'hu ki charusa. No, the four on the side, according to Rav Shimon, you make a, like a charusa. Last time we had charusa, I think, was back in Masechta Sukkah. Charusa was describing a type of lulav. Charusa is a palm branch. Right, there's a way to get it that they're not overlapping. How do you do that? Look at the next picture in the Rashbam. Look, they're diagonally. They're all sticking out diagonal, like branches. So that's how you do it. So there's no raya from the side ones that they have to be mamik to the earlier ones. I says the Gemara though, v'ha de Rav Huna, b'rei de Rav Yeshua Barusahi. This last rejection of Rav Huna is really not true. It's really not true. Why? Michti, because think about it. Kol amsa b'ribua amsa v'trei chumshi balachsona. I get a little math. We had back in Masechta Eruvin. Call Amsa, every Amma, if you have an Amma, a square with an Amma on each side, so what's the diagonal going to be? It's going to be one and two-fifths. One and two-fifths Amos. The Rishonim point out, Tosas, they already said it. The Tosas Rid here says it. It's not exactly the measurements. It's a little bit more than this, really, doing the math. A little bit more. But Chazal weren't perfectly exact. Says the Tosfos Rid here. Kibalti davar zeh mechacham echad. Shahaya baki bechachmas hashir biyoser hanikra geomatria. Tosfos Rid, 800 years ago. Vehera li le'ayin. And he showed and proved to me. The Tosfos Rid wanted to understand the Gemara. Right? So he goes to his math professor. So he showed me, he proved to me. Sheyoser hu ha'achlasan mitre chumshi. It's a little bit more than 1 2/5. You can't be so exact. That's what Chazal said. But it's not dafka that's exact. Many shiurim, it means a drop more. Right, no matter how small you go down to measuring the hair breadth of a hair, A hair is breadth, hence the name. So you're going to have to be a little rounding. So that's what the Chazal mean here. So again, back to the Gemara. What Rav Huna said is Barusa can't be true, because if you have a square Amma, right, if you have a each side is an Amma, so then it's 1 2/5 going diagonally. So Kama Havilahu, Chad Tzre V'Chumsha. So the amount that you're going to need altogether is 11 Chad Tzre and a fifth. You're going to need 11 and a fifth. And the diagonal connect, that's the diagonal connecting the two ends of the kuch. Kuch and hamahavi, tmanya tmanya. They were each 8. B'chatzrei v'chumsha, heichem ishkachazla. So therefore, it's not going to work because you need an amma between each kuch. And if you do the math to have these kuchin diagonally, there's not enough room there. There's not enough room there in the amount that each koch, and the space between the koch, and the amount that the measurements that Reb Shimon said in the Mishnah, so it's not going to work. So, Ella, Reb Huna, Breid of Yeshua, Barusahi. So, the Rosh Prime, he goes through all the math here, if you want to go through it, so it's overlaps and it's too far, and therefore, one wouldn't be able to do it. Okay. So it's a kasha on the raya of, right, it's a kasha on Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua, so we go back to the earlier answer that it must be ma'amik. It must be that the only way you could have the 4, it's not diagonally, because that wouldn't work. So it's got to be straight, and one is higher than the other one. I don't know, can't say if he don't know math, or I would just say that, I don't know, Barusahi. Sometimes the Gemara says Barusahi. Maybe we don't understand him. We don't understand what he meant. Barusa means he was false. We disagree with him. Maybe he had different measurements. Says the Gemara, one more answer. The Vayasema, maybe there's another way to get out of the 4 and 4 on each side. Kedamar of Shisha, Breid Ravidi Benifli, Hachanami Benifli. Maybe we're talking about Kfaros that were for Nephels, Nephalim, meaning little Rahman al-Islan, babies that were stillborns, so they have smaller Kofin, smaller aronos, so they use smaller kuchen. So if you have smaller kuchen, you don't have to have the same measurements, and you'd be able to fit. So maybe when it gives these measurements of 4 and 4 on each side, it wasn't the normal, regular aronos length that would need more, but it's talking about nephalim. The Safas Paneach, the rugged shover, says, what's the reason here? What's the reason that nephalim are more flexible? So he says, it's not just because there's less airspace. Kavanas haGemara shekever shel nefalim yochol yos katan lo mepnei shegufo shel nefal katan ela mishum shein bohem mitzvas kvura. Says the Safas Paneach, it's not just that they're smaller, but that there is no mitzvah of kvura when it comes to a nefal. That is a machlokas rishonim. Whether we know there's a mitzvah of kvura for a Jew, which we'll get to in a minute, but for a nefel, there is no mitzvah. It's based on a Hagos Maimonios. Hagos Maimonios in Hilchas Mila says, this is in Perek Aleph in Hilchas Mila, Avon Nefalim Shenahogu Lahasir Arlasan Bitzor Evan, we'll get to that, Aser Afilu Biyantav Sheni Shogolias. You're not allowed to bury them on Yantav Sheni. The Gemara in Beitza says that we bury on Yantav Sheni Al Yidei Adi Yisrael even, but the Minhag even today is Adi Akum. Hainu Dafka, or Rav Moshe says we don't bury anybody Bizman Hazeh, Yantav Sheni. Except in certain Hasidic circles, they bury Yantav Sheni even Bizman Hazeh. Rav Moshe says no, but says the Chagos Mamanios. Any of that is Hainu Dafka Meis, Shehaya Bar Kayama, Sheover, over hamalina balav. If you don't bury him, you violate a lot. Upashihaso yesh bizayon. Avon nefalim de'ein mitzvah lekovran. Kidemashman bekama mekomos betalmud. Shematilon osan labor. Ein yantav sheni nitzche al iske kvuraso. That's what he says. Yes, there are gemaras that talking about they were mushlach labor. The question is that what people did? Does that mean they were allowed to do it? It could be that they were too embarrassed or too upset that they didn't take him out to Kvura. Other Rishonim say no, that there is a mitzvah of Kvuras Mason. The Magen Avraham says there is a mitzvah. The Chasam Sofer discusses it also, but we generally do bury. Whether it's a mitzvah or not, we do bury. There is a fascinating Shulchan Aruch, which also Rachman al-Aslan, I once had the Shaila, about somebody, a baby born, stillborn or born early, so the minhag is we bury, but in Hilchas Mila, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Reish Sama Gimel, says the Shulchan Aruch, Tinok Shemes Kodim Shiyagia Lios Ben Ches, a child, Rachman al-Aslan, that dies before day 8, Malin Oso Al Kivro, you give a bris mila. Give a bris mila to the child. No bracha. They give a bris milah to a baby born in the seventh month, and as long as there's a form sure of a baby, especially a baby born for a term. Ve'ein mevarchen al amilah. Avol masimin lo shame, but the Shulchan Aruch says you give a name. You give a name to the baby. Why? L'zecher sheyirachamuhu min hashamayim v'yichya b'tchiyas hameisim. The language of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Milah. Something connecting the name of a person to tchiyas hameisim. And that's why there was a certain rav that whenever he did a levaya, the last thing he said after the person was in the ground, the arm was in the ground, he covered. So he called the person by his Hebrew name. Many people don't even know what their Hebrew name is. Many people out there in the world of intermarriage and assimilation. But he says, remember Dainumin, remember your name. It's based on this Shulchan Aruch right here, because the name is what brings us Rachmanis min Hashemayim, the Yichya b'tchiyas hameisim. Right, and that's the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the minhag. The minhag is to be mal even a stillborn, mal any baby. Regarding the mitzvah of kvura, so here the Shulchan Aruch says that there might not be. I mean, the Gemara, depending on what the machlokas we shown him, whether there's a mitzvah of kvura by nefalim. Where does the mitzvah of kvura generally come from? What's the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of kvura? Losalin nevlaso ala eitz ki kaver tikbrena by yamahu pasukin ki seitze, even by a misas bezdin, even there is a mitzvah of kvura, but surely by any other Jew has a mitzvah of kvura. Where does the mitzvah of kvura come from? So Rav Shachter quotes Rav Salvechik in Simen Yud Beis in Eretz Tzvi. I've quoted this a number of times in the past. Maybe it's based on the Brisa in Maseches Megillah. What does the Brisa in Maseches Megillah say? So the Gemara tells us, the Brisa tells us that there are two categories of items in Halacha, of holy categories. Tashmishe mitzvah and Tashmishe kedusha. Tashmishe mitzvah, a lulav, tzitzis, a shofar, those are all tashmishe mitzvah. What happens after I finish using them? They are nizrakin. May ikar adin, I can throw them out. With the minhag is we put them in a plastic bag and then we can throw them out. A lulav we burn. We burn the lulav of the chametz. Right, is that what you're allowed to burn? You're not allowed to burn certain items. Tzitzis. Tzitzis are not shamus. Tzitzis are put in a plastic bag and they can be put in the garbage, not in shamus. Again, disposed of in a mechubad fashion. But tashmishe kedusha, which includes a Torah, a mezuzah, a tefillin bag, a mantle of the Sefer Torah, all of those are tashmishe kedusha. What's the difference? How do you distinguish between the categories? Anything that connects to the ksav of Torah, to klaf, anything connected to klaf, is tashmishe kedusha. It's shamus. That requires burial. A tefillin bag is tashmishe kedusha. A talis bag is tashmishe mitzvah. It depends on the category. That's the difference between what is shamus and what is not shamus.
A tefillin bag is connected to
cloth. Tefillin bag holds the tefillin. The question is that tashmish ditashmish? That's the question. Is it tashmish ditashmish? And for sure the tefillin boxes. Maybe the Ritsuos. The Ritsuos is the discussion. So the tefillin bag is tashmish to tashmish. The question is that two stages? Let's see, what about the cover of the bima? The Torah goes on it, but does the Torah touch it? Does the Atzichayim touch it? So all these are discussions in the poskim. But it's all connected, at least tangentially, to the klaf of Torah. So suggested Rav Salvechik, maybe that's where the root of Kfuras Yisrael comes from. The root of Kfuras Yisrael comes from because every Jew is connected to the Ksav of Torah. Right? That's Tashmish. Every Jew is Tashmish Kedusha. And Tashmish Kedusha, Nikbarin, Velo Nizrakin. It has to be buried. What about a Jew who never learned a word in his life? Gemara Nida. Everybody in utero learns Kol HaTorah Kula with the Malach. So every Jew has that Pintala Yid in him connecting to the Ksav of Torah. And therefore, that is what connects. And that is the Mechayev. The mechayiv of burying a Yehudi is because of his connection to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah.
Who has the
chiyuv? So who has the chiyuv? So is there more of a chiyuv on a relative? I mean, it might be connected to the mitzvah of tumah, the mitzvah of being matami for a relative.
Also, how can the chiyuv be on the child at that point by definition?
Is a nonay. So I think it's on Klal Yisrael. It's on Klal Yisrael. I mean, it's anybody who's there, anybody who can be. Who can be involved has the mitzvah. Okay, we'll stop here, and Beth Hashem, we will clear this up tomorrow. Tomorrow is Beth Hashem, we finish the perek, and we get into base kur, five lot perek, before we get into Yesh Nochlin. Yesh Nochlin is on the horizon, but first base kur is on the horizon. I want to shortchange that perek. Okay, we'll stop here.